Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.
Yes, hello friends and welcome. Well, let me tell you something, it was an interesting weekend. On Saturday, we sent Kira to Japan in the hopes of her, you know, trying to produce maybe a better outcome from our game. It didn't work, unfortunately.
It didn't work, no.
However, on Saturday, we were discussing, of course, Dermot Bannon and the excitement that he's going to be featuring his own house on Room to Improve. And I did have some suggestions.
What?
Yes, that's
God,
right.
This is what happens when you go to Japan for one night.
I know, right? You missed it all, the excitement. He's going to have his own house on the show.
Oh my God, he's going to be, I'd imagine Twitter is going to go mad.
I would say so.
Yeah.
That man is going to need a thick skin.
Yes.
And of course the audio of the very funny, and you know what, it's weird to say funny, but the viral video of a Dublin graveside where a man went viral for literally recording a message to play after he died and he was being buried. Very clever
funny,
stuff.
I was thinking that would be like something you'd do.
I'd love to. I'd love to do that. As well as that, of course, on Sunday then, we were following the Japan-South Africa game, much to our disappointment.
Yeah,
it wasn't Japan's day.
We were also talking about a jail in the UK, which stupidly has asked the public to name its new mega jail.
Yes.
And I mean, it never ends well, and we talked about that. We also talked about, would you eat your pet if you were forced to spend 3 weeks with it? There's a new reality TV show on in the UK as well, which is basically going to do that.
It sounds like torture. Mm-hmm. And of course, we were discussing, very interestingly, the fact that North Korea had a game against South Korea.
World Cup qualifier.
Which wasn't televised and which apparently, according to the South Koreans who travelled to North Korea, to Pyongyang for the game, was tense. You know, there was a lot of swearing, there was a lot of tackles, there was a lot of tension, and they were giving a report on that. And Kieran and I, of course, brought that to you because we do have a weird, perverse, twisted, morbid fascination with North Korea and all that goes on there. Listen, all of that and more, here we go. Enjoy the podcast. This is making big news. I don't know if you're a fan of Room to Improve. However, Jesus, this series particularly, everyone's had something to say about Room to Improve. There was big controversy. People saying, oh, you know, it kind of showed a very opulent, kind of greedy lifestyle with people doing up houses. And some people saying, well, that's what TV's for. It's fantasy. You know, you watch some guy put a 500,000 euro glass extension onto the side of his house. And isn't that the fun of it? However, listen to this. Listen to this big headline. RTE's Room to Improve host Dermot Bannon to showcase his own home in new series set to air in early 2020. And of course, everybody's very excited about this because usually architect Dermot Bannon goes to the, we'll say, guest that week. Or I don't know what you'd call them. You wouldn't say guest, but the person whose house is being done up that week. And of course, he has all of his input and his drama and, oh, some steel beams don't arrive and this doesn't happen and whatever. And it's great fun. I have to say, I'm a huge fan of it. However, there is one thing I have issue with that I feel needs to be shared here. Everyone's excited because they're saying, well, isn't it cool that finally Dermot is opening his house up and, you know, his house will be the subject of the renovation when they're doing the TV show. But that's not entirely fair. I think one additional thing, so I'm just saying this to the people who make the show now, if you happen to be listening, I literally don't think anyone in the country is listening because the match is on. However, if you do happen to be listening, or if this gets back to them, the only fair way to actually do this episode, where Dermot has his house opened up, is if someone is allowed come, and listen, it can be anyone, I'll do it if you want, someone has to be allowed come and suggest a load of annoying rubbish that he doesn't like, and keep trying to make him do it, even though it's his house. That's the only way this will be fair. Because let's be fair, if he's on the show and he's doing up his own house, he's going to say, well, I'm the architect, so obviously I'm doing it the way I want it. No. You have to get some guy who has totally different tastes to Dermot, some guy or girl, whatever, has completely different views on it, and say, well, Dermot, I'd like to pour a load of concrete over your bathroom floor and just leave it there and then pebble dash it. And then when Dermot rightfully says no, be really annoying and try and push him into it for 5 months. Then he'd have an accurate simulation of what it's like for everyone else on the show. And not until then. So unless they have someone annoying him in his own house, it won't be the same. However, there's the big news. Dermot Bannon's own house is going to be on Room to Improve in early 2020. Apparently this will be a two-parter. God almighty. Very exciting. Now, this is incredible. I don't know if you've seen this online during the week, but it has been floating around. And This is, I always talk a big game and I always say, oh, I would definitely do something like this. Oh, at my funeral, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, or I will have X, Y, and Z planned and it'll be so funny and it'll be so ironic. But I think very few people actually put it into practice. However, this is incredible. And this happened in Ireland. It happened in Dublin. And I've honestly never seen, because occasionally you see news articles about, you know, wild things that happened at funerals and all that. But this is just brilliant. So a man pre-recorded a message that was to be played at his funeral. And they took a video, and this was just during the week. They took a video in Dublin, a Dublin granddad of 8 who planned his own funeral prank, as it's being described in the media. His name is Shay Bradley, and the dad of 4 recorded an audio message, and then everyone took a video while at the gravesite. And I'm not talking, like, this isn't at the wake or, you know, somewhere kind of intimate with the family. This is right at the grave, if you understand me. This is before, you know, I mean, the very final element of the funeral. And here, we have the audio, and I'll play it for you because this is very funny. So him saying hello and all that, that's his voice, the dead man's voice, whose funeral they're all at. So everyone there will be like, wait, what the?
Hello? Let me out! Where the f*** am I? Hello? Hello? Let me out! F***ing dog in here! Who the f*** am I? Is that that priest I can hear? Let me out! Hello! Hello! Stop the mask! Stop, I can hear you! Hello! Hello, please!
Hello! Now that takes balls. Imagine recording that, knowing it's going to be played at your funeral. But anyway, it's very, very funny. Check it out if you get a chance online. I thought I'd give him a big shout out because we all talk a big game. We say, oh, geez, I'd have this as my funeral song. Oh, geez, I'd hire strippers or whatever. Oh, it'd be great fun. But to actually do something like that for your funeral, knowing that you're, you know, maybe you don't have long left, and recording a message like that, absolutely brilliant. This is really odd. Kira and I were discussing this, I think yesterday as well, because we were like, this can't be right. There has to be something we're missing here.
Yeah, so Storm Lorenzo, I think it hit or didn't really hit Ireland as such. I think it was around the 8th and 9th of October.
Very disappointing in the end. You know, very, very underwhelming.
Yeah, there was a lot of weather warnings and stuff like that. And obviously, over the past couple of years, we have weather warnings in Ireland now that will tell you to stay out of the water or be careful driving in a particular area or to stay in or, you know, all that sort of stuff. Obviously, that goes with weather warnings. But yet, some people continue to defy those warnings and head out swimming or head out, in this case, kitesurfing.
I really don't understand these gentlemen. Like, by all means, you know, more power to you and everything. Just what worries me is then when an emergency service has to come get you.
Yeah.
When you've decided to go out kitesurfing in the middle of a weather warning. Mm-hmm. But hey, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm no crack, as
I'd
they
imagine,
say.
Well, no, I'd imagine there's adrenaline junkies that love that sort of thing, Chris. So I do get it, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you're right, though. When an emergency service then has to be called to rescue you, even though you've been told not to head out and do something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The lines are blurred a little bit.
I hear you.
Because it'd be very hard, let's say, for people to have sympathy for you.
Hey, listen, quite the opposite. Because I'm looking at this, there's quite a few articles about it online as well over the last few weeks. A kite surfer injured during Storm Lorenzo has been blasted after a GoFundMe was set up to help him because he won't be able to work for some time.
Mm-hmm. So he went out kite surfing, he was blown into some rocks, and the Coast Guard had to be called to rescue.
Isn't that mad now that he went out during a storm kite surfing and got injured? I'll tell you, I've seen it all now.
Yeah, now he did break his leg, I think, and he did injure himself, so he will be, you know.
No way! Jesus.
Yeah, he will be out of sorts for a while, let's say. But a friend set up a fundraiser, a GoFundMe, and said, hey, kites, I guess by now you all know that, you know, Sed had a crash on Thursday and got busted up. His leg is broken and it'll be some months before he's back in action. So they put up the fund for €1,000. Chris, do you know what it is right now? Myself and Chris checked it out.
Hopefully zero.
It's 5,185 and as of 3 days ago, people are still donating to it. So,
oh my God. Don't get me wrong. I empathise with any fellow human who gets injured.
Yes.
Of course I don't want to see you injured. I want to see us all live in harmony together. But Jesus, if you go out during a storm kite surfing, I'd imagine the likelihood of you being injured increases dramatically. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But as Kira said 3 days ago, there's still donations coming in for this and it's at over 5 grand.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, there was a couple of politicians that are saying, look, I hope that some of the amount of the money can be donated to the Coast Guard, which I would agree with myself. I think this is kind of a nice way to wrap it up, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
But we have seen in the past, Chris, GoFundMe pages set up for the most ridiculous of things. And people tend to donate to these things. Remember the German couple?
Let's look them up right now.
The German couple, these were a couple, they're Insta-huns, let's say, and they wanted to go travelling the world, but they didn't want to get a job. So they set up a GoFundMe page that they could go to Africa and take photos of their journey in Africa, but we had to pay for it.
I'm laughing because, remember we read this originally out on the GoFundMe, and they were saying that they needed their fans to see them in Africa. Yeah, that was actually what they said.
Yeah, and this is ridiculous. They set up the fund for 10,000 euro.
It's only at 967. Oh,
my goodness. Oh, there is good people out there in this world.
Wait, this madman who broke his leg got 5 grand. Jesus, he's totally outclassing them.
I love this. This was written on the blog of the German couple. We could write a long text about mental health or global warming. We could tell you about following your dreams or how important stepping out of your comfort zone is. We could tell you how beautiful travelling is and its benefits or the fact that most news don't match reality. But we're going to show you. Less talking, more action. So they were meant to start on the 20th of July in the middle of Germany on tandem cycle towards Africa.
And hopefully, they didn't get the funds.
Hopefully, keep on going. You know, but anyway.
I know, just keep going until they fall off the earth. However, they've gotten only 967 as of now, and I still remember that quote that they had on a different social media platform. I think it was on the Post, not on the GoFundMe, which was, our fans need to see us have this experience.
We want to take you all on this huge adventure. You're grand. We don't want to go on a tandem cycle with you to Africa,
sure,
guys. You're grand.
I don't know if this contravenes broadcasting rules, but just before we play you Shawn Mendes and Harry Styles Lights Up, can you send Kira and I money? Would that be okay? Tweet us now on Twitter. Kira and I would like money. Not for any particular reason.
We don't want to work.
We would just enjoy money.
We want to take you on this adventure with us.
Send us money on Twitter, on PayPal or GoFundMe or OnlyFans or something. I don't know, we'll see.
So, there is a new prison. Oh, sorry, there's a new prison. It was kind of rebuilt. It was done up in Wellington.
And it looks fabulous,
Wellingborough,
by the way.
Prison.
The improvements they've done, it's gorgeous.
Yes.
It's the nicest prison.
Like, it's a new 235 million mega prison. It began construction last month, and the prison is in Wellingborough, Northamptonshire.
Yes.
God, those English names.
You know,
names,
these English place names. I mean, and soon enough, we're not going to need to know them anyway. It's fine.
It'll be a category C jail for up to 1,680 criminals. So there's room for you in there, Chris.
I mean, it sounds fabulous.
Yeah, so it's on the side of this old jail that closed in December 2012 because of poor condition. Anyway, 235 million has been pumped into it, okay?
Wonderful.
So the name, oh God, the name, they're putting it out there. They've let the public decide what the name of this new super mega prison should be.
Why do we keep doing this?
I don't know. I really, really don't know. And like, obviously straight away, it's like Prison Mac Prison Face, because remember the time that there was a polar research ship.
Yes.
And it was voted, the people voted, and people voted it to be called Boaty Mac Boatface.
This was the first example of that. They put it out there, and I bet they thought they were being really clever. They were like, we'll get the public to name it. They'll be so imaginative, so creative.
Thankfully, it ended up being called the ORS Sir David Attenborough, which is much nicer, isn't it?
That's only because, though, they overruled the popular vote of Boaty Mac Boatface.
Yeah. So then Suffolk Highways asked people at the Suffolk Show in May to suggest names for its 41 gritting lorries. Do you remember that?
Sure.
And Grit Rhys Jones and Sir Melton John were some of the names that
Britney
were picked.
Britney Spears
was another
David
one.
Plowey.
Yeah.
They were fun names.
They were actually funny because they were a pun on plowing and all that. But yeah, no, I don't get it. I don't understand why the public are being asked to vote on anything, Chris. I mean, if you just cast your eyes back over the past 2 years and if you think about all the major things that people have been asked to vote on and the certain outcomes on them without naming names, Chris, or political situations, Chris.
I hear you. But then they even ask for the Late Late Show owl to be named.
Why do they do that?
I mean, look, let's rename 2FM.
It's just the owl from the Late Late Show. It's always just been the owl.
No. 7,700 people voted online to name the Late Late Show owl. Look, I would have liked something like Owl McAlface or Bird Small Nose Bird Face. However, they went with Gabriel in honour of course. Gabriel,
which
is very nice.
Yeah.
Gabriel McBurn Face. Gabriel McBurn Face.
But like, in fairness, Ryan Tubridy.
Yeah.
You could change Tubridy, Birdie. You know what I mean? There's a bird pun in there.
Sure.
If you look hard enough.
But we're not trying to name them after bird. God almighty.
Anyway.
Oh, wait. I've got it. Gay Bird. Because like Gay Burn, but he's a bird.
Nope.
He's the owl. Don't ruffle papers at me. It's like what they do at the end of the news when they've nothing left to talk about.
There's a bird pun with Tubridy there somewhere.
We're not naming the bird after Tubridy. He's still the host.
Yeah.
We've won
Tubridy. So should the owl not belong to that kind of generation?
I think it's nice to name it after
Tubridy.
Tubridy.
There you go.
As in birdie, B-I-R-D-E.
Yeah, no, yeah.
No, gay bird.
E.
No.
Just anyway, right, let's move on. See,
gay
this
bird.
Is why the public shouldn't be asked to name anything.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But anyway, there you go. They're looking for names for
now,
the prison.
Yeah, now the name must be formally agreed by the Queen as well, by the way, so...
Right, so they're going to have a lot of suggestions for her, like Prison McPrison Face, horrible place nobody wants to be, Gay Burn. And then they're going to say, oh, well, how about we just call it the RSS David Attenborough, or whatever. And they'll go with something like the English Duke here, something like that. Do you know what I mean? But listen.
Anyway, it's hoped that it'll be open in the spring of 2021.
I can't
wait,
personally.
So they have plenty of time to name it.
I think it's going to be gorgeous. Can't wait to see the pictures of it.
Speaking of sport.
Oh, this is the biggest sport eventing.
And I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, because obviously, for those that listen to the show, myself and Chris, we're kind of fascinated in a weird way with North Korea and Pyongyang and Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il. And we've kind of been following that dictatorship for about 10 years now, haven't we?
Oh my God, we have been so involved in the highs and lows of this dictatorship.
Because we're fascinated by it because it's so wrong. On so
oh,
many
we're
levels.
Morbidly
you know
fascinated
morbidly
by it. Yeah, believe
me,
we're not in any way revering Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il, it's nice and all as they seem.
No, definitely not. So there was a World Cup qualifier on, I think it was last Tuesday. And some photos emerged, and a lot of news reports have since come out to say it was a very strange World Cup qualifier. So South Korean officials described the football match against North Korea in Pyongyang as like a war. They said even players were just happy to return to Seoul without suffering any injuries. So obviously, you know, they've been at war since the 1950s. So that's fair enough. So obviously, you know, emotions are going to be heightened. But what was interesting was South Korea travelled to play there, and it only emerged before they got there that North Korean hosts decided the match would be played in front of empty stands in a 50,000 capacity stadium.
Having seen pictures of this, it's genuinely eerie.
It's so
it's
weird.
Genuinely unsettling and eerie because they're in the stadium. The stadium is this big cavern. It's empty, and they're there playing their hearts out to nobody. Just
and
like
North,
on the streets, there's nobody.
Yeah,
there's
North
no cars.
Korea also refused to allow the match to be screened live. And then a planned delayed broadcast on Thursday by South Korean TV, that was cancelled after video footage provided by the North turned out to be of too poor quality. You know, it's bizarre. And seemingly on the field, the North Korean players were accused of playing in an excessively aggressive manner, jumping into their opponents with knees up and throwing out their elbows and hands while shielding the ball. And some of the video footage circulating, it looks like the South Koreans got out of there just by the skin of their teeth, really.
Jesus.
Yeah, they said, it's too bad we didn't win. To be honest, the game was so tough that I think we were lucky already to be back with no one injured. And that's Son, who plays for Tottenham Hotspur, I think. He's from South Korea. But anyway, there you go. Isn't
I think
in this day and age.
No, this is a great idea. Did you see the Ireland-Switzerland football match? It was horrible. We should start not broadcasting them and then just saying, no, we won. We won like 5-0. We didn't get a chance to broadcast it. We did brilliantly. It was really good fun.
Mm-hmm. Son also accused the North Korean players of being sensitive and aggressive and swearing a lot during the match. And they said we could hear many very offensive curses from the other side, he said.
I can't believe it. I can't believe they went to North Korea and didn't enjoy themselves.
Yep,
you know what
right?
I'm saying? I tell you something. Mm-hmm. I thought they would have put on a better host for them. But anyway, now, this is probably the closest you'd be able to get me to going vegetarian. I'll tell you something.
Me too.
This is rough. And when I saw this, I said, if I had to go through this challenge that this new Channel 4 TV show is proposing, I don't know if I'd be able for it.
Yeah, not a chance. So it's it's a reality TV show. Like, they're running out of ideas as well, Chris. Can we just call a spade?
Is this not a good one, though?
It is.
Like, I'm looking at this thing. Oh, that's a very good concept.
It is a very good concept. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't been done before. So, there's a new show. It's called Meet the Family. Meet, M-E-A-T.
Okay? Meat, like meat that you eat. I hear you.
And as the program is called, it's part reality TV, part social experiment. And it explores basically what its title suggests. So, what happens when your dinner comes to stay? So it follows four meat-eating families as they spend time interacting with the animal that most frequently appears on the dinner plates. Okay, so straight away, I know I'm out because I'm attached to this desk because I sit here. Do you know what I mean? So I know that if I had a little lamb or a little chicken or a little calf or cow hanging around for a week or two, I'd be attached and I'd want to keep them forever. So it's working on me.
That's what they do, though. They try and get you to bond with the animal. So you'll be bringing it on walks. You'll be playing with it.
2 hours.
Kira would start talking to the animal with Kira's life story, and like Kira would be doing tarot card readings with the animal and stuff. Like Kira would be great friends with the animal within a few minutes. No, you would though. You're very, very in touch with all that kind of stuff, and you're very emotional. And I think that with what they have planned, so basically they're going to give you a pet, or a pet like, as you say, chicken or cow or whatever, and you're going to play with it, go for walks with it, try and see the intellectual capacity this animal has.
And emotional capacity, yep. Oh. Yep, and then to see if living with it makes it kind of less palatable to eat.
But this is a stupid argument. Like, living with anything would make it less palatable to eat.
Exactly. If you're a human being and you have a beating heart and you have some sort of compassion and empathy about you, you're not going to want to kill the animal at the
end of
it. You're
going to bond with it on some level.
Yeah,
so Jesus, I'd bond with a fish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd bond with anything that I lived with for a while.
So the stars of the show, they live with and care for farm animals, including chickens, sheep, pigs and cows for 3 weeks. So it's 3 weeks. So not like 3 weeks I'd want to marry them. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Like, I get
never
you.
Never mind. You
3 weeks you'd have adopted it legally.
Exactly.
It'd be your son. I hear you.
Yeah, so before facing the ultimatum, go vegetarian and send the animal to a sanctuary or kill and eat their newest family member.
Wow.
Yeah, so the families also learn about farming and production and the impact of meat consumption on the environment and their own health and stuff like that.
Oh, that is cruel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not
going
near this show.
Could you go back to meat once you've put a name and a face to a meal?
No, like, of course not. But that's not how the world has worked for the last few 100,000 years. We've been killing animals and eating them to get access to proteins and stuff. I mean, listen, it's not an ideal situation, but it's where we are at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. In a few years, it's all going to be artificial meat we're eating anyway, because the planet will have collapsed in on itself. But that's not for ages. Do you know what I mean? That's not for another few years. We can all enjoy real meat up until then.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But listen, I don't know. I have to say,
I'm out.
Oh, if I was exposed to that, I'd be out too.
Yeah.
There's no way I'd be able for that.
No.
Well, my goodness, that was something else.
It had everything.
And you know what? Which someone pointed out actually on the text, and I'm very sorry that we overlooked it. The pictures of Kim Jong-un on a horse.
Oh, my God,
How
Chris,
did we miss that?
I don't know. We didn't miss it. It was there. It was always going to be in our psyche, but we just didn't talk about it.
And I remember you even sent me that picture.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me the picture of Kim Jong-un on a horse in like a snowy environment.
Yep.
He looks like a Greek.
Channeling Putin.
He looks gorgeous, mm-hmm. quite frankly. And he on a horse, of course. I don't know how we missed that. So an honourable mention, of course, to Kim Jong-un on horseback in a snowy mountain. I mean, what a beautiful and gorgeous sight, Kira. But listen, we will be back soon. Subscribe to the podcast. Give it 5 stars. Give it a nice review. Give it 5 stars. Tell all your friends and write nice comments there. We will chat to you soon. From myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye. Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11. I got you.